Hey everyone, welcome back. My name is Lynn Wilson and welcome to Hope for Today. So we have some new people joining us, we have some of our regulars joining us, and I thought I'd kind of add a little bit in the beginning about what this podcast, what I want it to be and what I hope it to be. I think it's always good to have a mission statement. I have a personal mission statement for my own life. Every business has a mission statement. So let's encourage ourselves to think through what is the mission statement of this podcast. And it is to give you hope for today. It's as simple as that. And how do we do that? Well, we do that by studying the Word of God, by referencing different stories in the Bible, and definitely leaving you encouraged at the end of the podcast. I never want you to feel down and out. I never want you to feel like this is a doomsday. There's enough of that out there. I don't know about you, but you know, you turn on the TV, we've talked about this, you turn on the radio, you read an article in a newspaper or in a magazine, or you see a headline, or you go on Facebook, and somebody guaranteed has something negative to say. They're guaranteed. I think so many people just love living in misery. I don't know why. You know, I was just talking last night on a different platform, and I said, I only have one life to live, just one. And when it's over, it's over. That's it. So while I have it, I want to enjoy it. I want to have fun. I want to taste a new flavor of ice cream, and I want to go for that walk I never went on. And I want to smell that fresh, crisp air, or smell a flower, or take a vacation, or meet a new person, or just learn something new. I want to experience so much more in life. I'm not done with that yet. And the Lord created us as a human being. And along with that, yes, we are to walk with Him and to study His Word and to grow in Him. That's priority. But we're still human. We still enjoy the flowers and enjoyable ice cream and enjoy a great Christmas movie or whatever the case might be. And I don't think these doomsday people realize that they're missing out on all this good stuff. So I want you to be encouraged today. Now, today's topic might sound a little like, okay, you just said this isn't doomsday, but now you're talking about what? So let me explain, let me read you the title, and then we're going to just chat very briefly on a few things. Seasons of Change, from Earthquakes to Floods. Sounds kind of doomsday, doesn't it? Doesn't have to be. Yet, still finding refreshment. That's what I want to talk about today. Last week, we talked about finding rest for a weary soul. That was one of the verses that we talked about in Psalms. And we referred to a few other, and you can go back and watch last week's podcast if you didn't get a chance to see that. And we were talking about refreshment, that, you know, we get down and we get overwhelmed with life and change in life. And change can happen very suddenly and change can happen very subtly. And depending on which way it goes, we handle it differently. And I think I made reference to last week, I can't remember, but I love the Weather Channel. I'm odd. I love the Weather Channel. I like watching the Weather Channel. I like knowing what's coming my way. I like to be prepared. But yet, it makes me nervous at the same time. And we talked about last week about how change can affect us and what we do. Some of us panic. Some of us get overwhelmed. Some of us immediately go to the Word of God. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, I was thinking about this through the week. And, you know, I love prime rib. You know, how many of you like prime rib? Filet mignon? Oh, I had that on my honeymoon, and it was the first time I ever had it. And oh, so good. Those things are delicious, aren't they? Or something fancy, like a really fancy dessert. Or, you know, I don't know, some kind of fancy schmancy salad or something. But I was talking to my husband about it, and I said, you know, as great as those things are, they're called treats. You know, you don't have prime rib every night, and it's a treat. But what you really need every day is something plain and simple. Something that, like, you know, most people, if we're going to go out to dinner, you're going to go hit Applebee's or someplace or a burger place, you're going to get a cheeseburger or a hamburger. you know, that's like our standard. We can pretty much deal with a cheeseburger almost every night, or a hamburger or something along that line. But prime rib every night, you can't afford it, first of all, or filet mignon, and it's a little rich. And even with some of these fancy desserts, you probably would enjoy a bowl of plain vanilla ice cream on the regular versus a fancy dessert. As much as we say, oh, I'd love that, you know, those special things are just too rich for us. And just in life, I think most of us are just an average person, you know, trying to make ends meet, pay our bills, go to work, raise a family, enjoy life the best we can, live and strive to be a better person and to grow in the Lord and to serve Him in all of these things that He's provided for us. And I think sometimes we sort of set this stage, or we set this mindset, or we set this perspective of that the Lord's plan is this prime rib filet mignon fancy dessert lifestyle that we're supposed to have. And we forget that things are just very practical. I think the Lord in His Word has clearly laid out for us everything that we need to do. I think so many times we get caught up in this level of, I don't even know what, that we forget the practicality of things. Have you ever heard somebody is so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good? I find myself getting there sometimes, you know, pride can get in the way, and I don't want to say reading the Word is wrong, so hear me out. Make sure you hear what I'm saying. But we can read the Word so much, but we're not applying it. Does that make sense? That it's all this like educational knowledge in our brain, but the application isn't there. So we're practically, practicality wise, we're not doing anybody any good. You know, I can walk around and preach to you all I want that, you know, I've read cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. I've read it 22 times. I know the Word. I've studied the Word. I can study anything, but it's not until I apply it that that's what perfects who we are. You know, you can go to school and become a doctor, but if you've never actually applied that and worked on a patient and talked with a patient and so on, that head knowledge is not going to do you any good. You must apply it. And I really want you to think through that, that, you know, sometimes, you know, I want this podcast that we do today and other days to just be something plain and simple and practical, something that, you know, I can use every day. Those fancy desserts are great and those fancy dinners are great, but it's not something I can use every day. But what I want to bring to you is something practical. I'm a simple girl. I like simple. I don't like complicated, and I like practical. I get that from my dad. He was a very practical person, and I get that right from him. But I think God's Word is practical. You know, the Bible says if you don't have wisdom, ask. There's nothing rocket science about that. If you don't have it, then you need to ask. Very simple. I think we even complicate salvation. We come up with fancy names for salvation. Sometimes within different churches and different denominations, they call it something different. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not meant to be complicated. It's simple. God died on the cross. He rose again. He died on the cross because we are sinners and we needed somehow, some way to get to heaven. And it's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His sacrifice is what gives us that opportunity if we believe and accept who He was and what He did in our life. That is how we're going to get to heaven. Not because of, you know, and we go everything from calling it something special to having these prayers written out and then all these things. Salvation is simple. God made it so simple. It's a free gift. We don't earn it. We don't pay money for it. We don't have to do good deeds for it. We don't have to go to church 15 times a year and do all these things. None of that. None of that will get you to heaven. It is plain and simple. It's between you and the Lord. You have a relationship with Him. You've accepted Him into your heart and life. It's that simple. It's basic. It's practical. He died on the cross for us, for each and every one of us. And I think sometimes we can get so zealous and just get ourselves in a bit of a tizzy and, you know, thinking we need to do. No. Now, once you're saved and you're part of the family of God, your desires to serve Him is where those things come into play, where I want to serve. I want to be a Sunday school teacher. I want to be a youth group leader. I want to be in the choir. I want to go on church visitation or whatever the case might be. But as you grow closer to the Lord, you only want to be with His people more. You want to serve Him. That's a good thing, but that has nothing to do with going to heaven. I just wanted to make that clear. I know there's been one or two people that I've talked to that seem to think that they have to work their way into heaven and do these special things. And no, you don't. No, you don't. And if you're not clear on that, I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to keep it practical. I want you to open your Bible to John 3:16. John is in the New Testament. You want to go to the third chapter and go down to the 16th verse. And I want you to read that. I want you to pray over that. If you say, I don't know how to pray, just start talking and say, Lord, you're up there. I want to talk to you. Keep your eyes open, keep your eyes closed, talk with respect, and just say, I'm reading this and I don't understand it. Trust me, if your heart is searching for the Lord, He will reveal Himself to you. I want to keep that simple for you as well. We're going to talk about verse, I bring this verse up all the time. I love this verse. It is practical. Practical verse, Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you might be new believers and this might be an unfamiliar verse to you. Some of you might be a longtime believer and go, oh, duh, how practical is that? And I forget it. In that verse, it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. He knows the plans. It's that simple. It's very basic. It's not complicated. The Lord knew the day you would be conceived, the day you were going to be born, how many hairs are on your head. He says that. I know how many hairs are on your head. He knows the day He's going to call you home. He knows every single sin that you have committed and will commit. He is all-knowing. And plain and simple, He knows. And yet we try and complicate it and, you know, think I can maneuver the waters and I can manipulate and I can... He'll never know. Yes, He will know. He knows the plans He has for us, declares the Lord. Now, He knows the plans He has for the life of Lynn Wilson. Lynn Wilson doesn't know the plans, but He does. But, you know, just like the patterns of the weather, a lot of times we can look out. We talked about this last week. We look outside and we can see the weather's changing. And I can see that life is changing. I can see signs in my own life. You know, I'm aging. I'm getting older. I'm a little bit slower. I, you know, have a few more aches and pains than I had before. Life is changing. Lord, what do you have planned for me now? Things are different. I've just recently lost my dad. My dad just passed away a few weeks ago. My life has changed in an instant. I no longer have a dad who's alive. He's in glory. He's walking with the Lord and talking with the Lord, but I don't have a dad here on this earth. Now I really, really have to rely on my Heavenly Father. My dad was a practical and a good example of what a daddy and a father should be. And for the men that are listening, make sure either to your children or to your grandchildren or to those kids in Sunday school that maybe you're mentoring, that you are an example of a godly man, that they can see Christ in you and know that there's a Heavenly Father that loves them. The men that are out there, you have no idea the role that you play in someone's life in portraying a Heavenly Father. Now, last week we talked about a girl that quickly her life changed. I don't know that Mary had any signs growing up that the Lord was pushing her to be the mother of Jesus. And that one day an angel would appear and say, you're pregnant. You're going to have baby Jesus. He's going to be the King of Kings and He'll be your Savior. Boom. That's it. Life changed just like that. That to me would be like an earthquake. So a hurricane, a tornado, a snowstorm, rain, just plain rain we get, you know, notifications on our phone. We can check the weather channel. We can watch patterns. We can check out the cloud formation and all these kind of things. For the most part, we know it's coming. But an earthquake, what happened? They just had a 7-point-something earthquake, and over here, and this one had an earthquake, and everything goes crazy. And that's kind of like an instant something that you can't exactly plan for. Now Mary, her life, it was like an earthquake happened. Boom, it happened just like that. We can't plan for those things. We'll go back to, can we plan for those things? We'll go back to that in a minute. Okay, now let's jump forward to another person. I'm going to talk about Noah. I think the story of Noah and the story of Abigail, I don't know why, those are my two Old Testament stories that I like. I'm always intrigued by them. So in Genesis 6:22, it says, Noah did all of this precisely as God had commanded. Noah did all of this precisely as God had commanded. I want to read something here. God chose Noah and his family to restart the world. He decided to blot out all of mankind except for Noah during the great flood. Noah was given plans to build an ark to preserve his family and the animals. And I'm going to go back to Genesis 6:22. And Noah did all of this precisely as God commanded. Wow. Now you think back to the story of Noah. If you don't know the story, go back to Genesis. First book of the Bible. Here we are in chapter 6. Read about it. Here's a man that has a family. I'm going to give you the paraphrase version of it. And God said, I need you to build a boat. Big boat. Very big boat. I've been to the Ark Encounter out in Kentucky area. I don't remember exactly where. And it's a replica of the size of the Ark that Noah had to build. Now, I don't think Noah had any, computer-generated sketches that he could follow and didn't have a team of shipbuilders and working on it at a shipyard and all these special tools and, you know, the perfect everything to build this iconic ship, boat, whatever you want to call it, that he needed to build. But he did have what it said. He did what God commanded him to do, and God told him, here's what you need to do. Now, we have some details about what the Lord told him, but we don't have all the details. But we do know that it said God told him, and Noah listened to how to build the ark. Now, Noah is building an ark because there's going to be a flood. Now, before Noah's day, there was no rain. We didn't have the tornadoes and the hurricanes and all this nonsense that we have now. We didn't have that. So Noah's building something. He's preparing something. He's listening to God. Follow me on this. He's listening to God. He's preparing for something that God said is going to come. But Noah really didn't know what a flood was. He probably knew the term. The Lord maybe explained it to him. Again, we can Google something. I can go on YouTube and watch a video on what, you know, what a flood is. Or if I don't know what the abyss is in the ocean, I can watch a YouTube channel and go, oh, that's what it is. I never learned that maybe in science. Noah didn't have these things. He had him and the Lord. That was it. He walked with the Lord. The Lord told him. He did it. How many of us can be that trusting? You know, how many of us have had signs from the Lord? You've had signs, whatever they are. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know how many times I've said, oh, I can't believe it. I'm so stupid. There were all the signs and I didn't pay attention. The biggest thing I have learned in my walk with the Lord and the older I get is keep your eyes open, your mouth shut, and listen. Because in the quiet and stillness of life is when I hear the whisper of the Lord. I watch. I can tell by different things that are going on. The Lord speaks to all of us in a different and unique way. The Lord knows your personality. He knows what's most effective with you. He created you. He knows how to get a point across to you. But in our own stupidity, we ignore it. Maybe we push it aside. Maybe we have seen the signs and went, I don't want to listen. I'm not going to pay attention. Well, you know what? Eventually that flood will come. God has told you how to prepare things. You could have either done what Noah did and listened and done things correctly the way he told you, whether or not you fully understand what that flood is that's coming your way. If you still listen to the Lord, you'd be okay when that flood came, just like Noah was okay. They were on that ark. His family was on that ark. They had food. They had provisions. They had animals. And the Lord preserved this family and these animals so he could restart the earth, repopulate the earth through animals and through human beings from those that he put on the ark. Wow. If Noah hadn't listened and he built the ark his own way, you know how many times it would say, I know better. Yeah, I have to admit, I've been there. And if you're saying to me you've done it all perfectly, then you probably need to look in that mirror again or get a different mirror to look in, because how many of us have said to the Lord, maybe not, Lord, I'm telling you this, but in our actions and in our attitude, I know better. I know better. I can do this better. No, we can't. I'm telling you, you think I would learn after how many times of messing up, and then the Lord's going, are you going to listen to me now? What if Noah had taken that attitude and said, I'm going to do it my own way? You know, he said to do this many nails. I'm only going to do this many nails. I want to cut back. I don't want to have to do all this work. It's okay. I don't need to do this. That ark would never have sustained itself in this flood and all that came with it. The Lord saved his family and he saved those animals and kept them safe during this time. How many of us see the signs? We see these things happening. We see the floods coming and we don't prepare. We don't listen to what the Lord is telling us. On the other hand, like Mary, she didn't have time to prepare. She didn't have those signs. It was more like an earthquake happened and it just happened out of nowhere. But you know what? I said this last week and I'll say it again. Her relationship with her God must have been like this. They had to have been so tight, because when the angel came to her, she said, I am your maidservant and I will do whatever you ask me to do. She wasn't rattled. That earthquake was just, okay, so the buildings fell down and lost a few things over here, but the earthquake's over and I'm okay. I'm okay. I don't know that I could be that way, but I'll tell you one thing. Her preparation for just whatever the Lord, well, God brought into her life at that point, her heart was prepared to do the right thing. So we have a choice today. We have choices. I was talking last night in a different platform about, we have choices, lots of choices. We are given choices. We have the choice of choosing heaven or hell. I have a choice if I want to get out of bed today. I have a choice if I want to be nice, or if I want to bark at somebody. I have a choice to drink coffee or tea. I have practical choices in life. I also have some serious choices to make. Like, do I want to spend eternity in heaven or hell? I made the choice to spend it in heaven. When I was a very young child, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. I hope you made that choice. And if you didn't, I want to stop right now and say, stop. Make a phone call to your local pastor, someone you trust who's, you know, understands the Word of God. Call America's Keswick. Just read your Bible and cry out to the Lord, and you will get the answers. And again, refer to John 3:16. You know, we have choices to make of when we see these signs coming. If I see that the clouds are getting really dark and I've got all my windows open, I have the choice to close them so the rain doesn't come in. I could be stupid and not be practical, leave them all open, and then I've got to sop up all the rainwater that's all over my carpets and my floors. I have a choice. I have a choice to prepare my life, my heart, my thoughts, by reading the Word of God and praying and growing in the Lord, so when the earthquakes of life happen, I've been prepared enough that I'll be okay. I'll be okay. God gave us a list of things to do and to plan for ahead of time for those rainy days when we say, you know, got to plan for a rain. My grandmother was always that. Got to plan for a rainy day. Put money aside for a rainy day. Have a stockpile of food for a rainy day. Have those extra clothes or extra provisions or whatever the case might be for a rainy day. We can make all those plans. We should be making those plans. God told us even these things of, you know, to build your home and to plan ahead and see if you have enough money to complete it. He has told all of us this. These are practical, everyday things that we can do. And if you don't know how to do it, you're intelligent, go take a class. Go ask somebody for help. Read a book. Google it. Whatever you need to do. We can do the practicalities. But I will tell you, when the earthquakes come, now the floods, we know they're coming, we've got the signs and all of that, we plan the best we can, but even with that, we can only go so far in our human self. On the other side, the earthquakes come out of nowhere, we didn't know it was coming. But I'll tell you this, in Philippians 4:19, it says, He will supply our needs. In those earthquakes, God supplies our needs. In those earthquakes, when you're overwhelmed, you can still be refreshed. I've had some days of late, I think because of my dad, you know, losing my dad and knowing I was going to lose my dad. And for a couple of years now, it was that anticipation of when. I knew the flood was coming. I knew it was coming. I knew it. I knew it. I had to plan, get paperwork organized, plan for this and plan for that, plan for when dad's not here, all of that kind of stuff. I had a plan for it. But when it happened, it was more like an earthquake because I've never lost my dad before. It's the first time I've experienced that. I did all the planning I could with all the signs that I saw, but when that moment happened, it was like an earthquake. But you know what? God supplied. He supplied the needs. Because I kept relying on the Lord for things, He was right there. He gave me grace. He gave my mom grace. He sent people in our life, provided us with food, provided us with financial gifts. He provided us with emotional reassurance and just so many things. God provided. In the middle of anticipation of the flood and then having an earthquake, He still provided. And we came out of it okay. People are you okay? And we're like, we're okay. Yeah, you have your moments. Of course you're going to shed tears. Of course. We love this man. But we have the assurance that he's in glory. And people have said to my mom, are you okay? And she says, I'm okay. She can find refreshment even when her soul is weary. And so can you. In Psalm 55:22, it says, He will take care of us. He, not we, He will take care of us. Matthew 24:44, He is coming back for us. We need to know it's not a flood. It's going to be eternity. The Lord is coming back. How do we prepare for that? Well, we prepare for number one by making sure we know where we're going to spend eternity. Number two, we prepare by seeing signs. You know, they look for the signs, as people say, the end times. Looking at the signs, things are, listen, look for the signs, but don't get so caught up in it that you're walking around like doomsday. We should be excited for these signs because these are the signs that the Lord said to look for, that I will be coming soon. That's exciting. We'll be spending eternity with Him. But in the meantime, the Lord wants us to be practical, serving Him, witnessing to people. There is somebody on this planet that still needs the Lord because the Lord has not returned yet. So we can complain all we want on how bad things are, and there's inflation and prices are going up and people are doing what they want. Yeah, I get all that. I get it. I live in it. I live it just like you. And we can complain about all that. So think about the fact that somebody, one more person, at least one more person, needs to accept the Lord. God knows who that person is. I don't. But maybe you're the last person to witness to the last person that will accept the Lord. It could be the person that's sitting behind you in a pew that you get mad at them because they're in your pew. Maybe it's a family member or a coworker or a neighbor. I don't know. Maybe that person is you looking through this camera right now, and you're saying, yeah, I never made this right. Maybe you are the last holdout until the Lord will return. I don't know. My dad thought in his lifetime, my dad passed away at 88 years old, and he thought in his lifetime he would have gone up in the rapture. He didn't. So is it my lifetime? Is it your lifetime? Is it my kid's lifetime? I don't know. The Bible also says no man will know. So you can sit around and gripe and complain about how bad things are, or you can make a difference in this world. You were designed with a purpose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ after you've accepted him. You can be refreshed and know in Psalms, in Proverbs, in Ecclesiastics, in Ephesians, in the book of John, goes on and on and on of how many ways the Lord will refresh us. He will refresh a weary soul. Whew, yes, he will. I just want to encourage you today. Mary did not know what was coming her way. It was an earthquake in a sense, but her walk with her God was so strong, she could still be refreshed through everything that went on. Noah sort of had signs. He had some signs. He had some instruction. He had some guidance from the Lord, but still didn't ultimately know. We're not all knowing. If Noah knew everything, he'd be God, which he's not and never was and never would be, but we know some things. The Lord allows us at times to have signs and preparation so we can plan and we can be practical. So listen, seasons of change come from earthquakes to floods. It's okay. We can still find refreshment. We can still go to the Lord and be refreshed. And when you don't feel refreshed, go to the Lord and tell him, this is where I'm at. I'm really struggling. I'm discouraged. I just can't get it together. Whatever the case is, he's the one that can fix it. Before we go today, I would like to offer you a free booklet called When You Feel Like Giving Up. Don't give up when you feel like giving up. It's a free booklet. It's about 12 pages long by Dr. Ray Pritchard. I'd love to send it to you. I'll pay for the postage, not to worry. We'll pop it in the mail to you whenever you reach out. You can call the main office for this booklet. My email is in the description below. Feel free to email me, give me your name and address and all that good stuff, and I'd be glad to send this out to you complimentary from America's Keswick. I want to thank you for stopping by today. I'm hoping you're going to have a much better day, feel refreshed, you know, all those practical things, but there is hope for today. And I will tell you, you got to come back next week. We're going to do something a little different. I think you will enjoy it. Thanks so much for coming over.